Joining me on the track is Chris Sheridan, veteran NBA writer and the owner of SheridanHoops.com. We welcome you back to the show. Chris, it's Dave Logan and Dave Krieger. How are you?
Good, how are you doing?
We're doing well, enjoying these two series, although I think there's certainly more entertainment value in the Western Conference Finals. I guess my first question is, based on what you saw last night, can you come up with a scenario that Boston makes this an entertaining series?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, David, the Celtics have laid a gas before, and that's just in this year's playoffs. But over the last 5 years, as we've grown to know their big series, they lay that every now and then, pretty much in every series. In Atlanta this year, against the Hawks, they laid a gas in game one, and Paul Pierce had almost the exact same line as he had last night. So I fully expect that team to be resilient and to use their experience to put this one behind them, or that one from last night behind them. And look, they do have more guys that can score the ball than Boston, than Miami does. And even if you take Ray Allen out of the equation, because Ray looked so shaky at the foul line last night, and he's been so shaky throughout the playoffs, I'm not sure that you can consider him a verifiable threat anymore. But Rondo can score, Pierce can score. Garnett was having a very good offensive game last night and has been playing great offensively throughout the playoffs. They're either going to get scoring out of Dwayne Wade, they're going to get scoring out of LeBron James, but they never know if they're going to get it out of a third guy, and they really need that. And so I think the key for Boston is they got to control the tempo, number one, and keep the game in the 70s, make it as unwatchable as possible because of the pace of the game. But if they could take the pace, the game can be won by them. The winning team has 100 points, Miami's going to win the game. Boston can only win one way, and that's slow. But if they can do that, I think the number one thing they've got to look at for is their turnovers. Rajon Rondo had 4 in the first quarter last night. He's averaging almost 4 in the playoffs. And we can all see what Miami does with turnovers. They turn them into easy transition buckets. So I think that's what you got to look for.
Well, Chris, one of the bizarre elements of that game yesterday seemed to me was the technical fouls. And Doc Rivers sort of went off on it afterwards, and that's not like him. But apparently all he said to Ed Malloy was Eddie, and got a T for that. Ray Allen apparently turned around, shook his head, and got a T for that. Is there some new directive for the conference finals that we're unaware of out here?
Well, Ed Malloy has become a very good referee. He's a young guy from Philly. He's been in the league now probably about 7 or 8 years, and he's worked conference finals before. He's moved up the ladder very quick. But he's also developed a reputation kind of like what Steve Javi had when Steve was his age. He's a quick-serve tech guy, and there's no need for it. The one, I happen to agree with Doc. That was one of the worst texts I've ever seen last night. And then the one that Ray Allen got, Ray didn't really do a whole lot to earn a technical. Ray was just making a little complaint about getting called for a very questionable offensive foul when he was battling for position. So, it depends on the dynamics of the crew, and you got to know which guys are quick trigger and which guys aren't, and you got to kind of adjust to how they expect that they're going to call the game a certain way. But I don't think anybody can expect Ed Malloy, even though he's got a quick trigger, to be that quick of a trigger. And then, these things tend to balance themselves out over the course of the series, but, Miami's had a lot of catching up to do to get beat up as much as Boston did last night. But I think, again, it goes to knowing the referees and knowing how they're going to let a game be played. Jay Crawford was the first game of the Western Conference Finals in San Antonio, and that thing was quite a physical game, and Joey's letting him play, and Joey has grown to let him play more and more over the years. And when you see the ref assignments and you see Joe Crawford, you tell your players, it's going to probably be a little more physical than you expect tonight because Joey tends to let you play. So I think last night, maybe Doc Rivers should have said to his team, hey, Ed Malloy's here tonight, and Ed Malloy real quick with a technical foul, so be careful. But, even if he said that, there's still no justification for either of those two technical fouls, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if the NBA office rescinds them, because remember, they add up, and you get too many, and you get a suspension.
Hey, Chris, along the same lines, and quickly following up on Ed Malloy, when something like that happens, and people talk about it on a national level, and certainly with shows like this across the country, saw ESPN
earlier today, and they were talking about it. Will the league say something to the officials, to that individual official? Will there be some sort of dialogue, for lack of a better term, that says, listen, you might want to do things a little bit differently, or is that just come with the territory?
No, that's standard procedure. They began doing that years ago, and, you know, they even called Steve Gavi in, and they told him, Steve, you know, you've become a heck of a referee, but you're calling the checks every night, and guys can't play the games when you're out there because, it's, you know, the threat of a key is impacting the way they play, and it's not about you, it's about them. So lay off the quick trigger, and to his credit, Steve Gavi adjusted, and over the last 10 years of his career, he was a real even tempered referee, and he wasn't a quick trigger guy.
Was that before or after he threw the mascot out?
The NBA talks to the referees all the time, and I'm sure they've always broken out the law and said, you got to have a little thicker skin than that. A technical foul has to be worthy of a technical foul. And when you make a call like that, you make everybody in the NBA look bad because that's when people start throwing out, oh, the league wants Miami to win. Oh, the league wants the Celtics to lose. And you know, conspiracy theories propagate in the NBA more than in any other sport. So the NBA tries to bend over backwards to make things as fair as possible. And I guarantee you, they've already talked to Ed Malloy, and they've already admonished him for what he did last night.
Yeah, we actually tried to promulgate a couple of those conspiracy theories out here, Chris, as you might remember. We got about a minute left before the bottom of the hour. Let me ask you about the Western series. Oklahoma City looked like they were in good shape until the fourth quarter, and then the Spurs just shut them down. What do you expect in game two?
Yeah, they shut them down, and they scored 39 points while they were doing it, and they made it look real easy. One thing I noticed is Steph just ran the high pick and roll time and time and time again in the fourth quarter with Kevin Durant and with Kevin Porter. And when the Spurs, when Perkins came off the pitch, the Spurs just doubled Kevin. Because even if Kendrick Perkins is rolling to the basket, everybody knows Kevin Durant's not going to throw him the ball. And it's hard for you to sit in those picks. If Kendrick Perkins wants to get the ball and get a 14 feet from the basket, there's nothing he can do with it there. He can't put it on the floor. He can't hit a shot from there. And if you have a lane to the basket, you foul him, and he can't do foul shots. So I expect to see Steph run a lot more pick and rolls that involve Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. Because if the Spurs switch off on that, then you've got Tony Parker guarding Kevin Durant, and Kevin will eat up Tony. He's got 7 inches on him. So I expect to see a little more creativity out of Scott Brooks. He's the coach of the year. He could have done better than getting the same play when it wasn't working. But that being said, I've rarely seen a team play as efficiently and as coolly and calm and collectively as the Spurs have been doing for well over a month now. And, you know, David, it wouldn't surprise me if this team played a 13-16-0 through the playoffs.
Wow. That's big indeed. Chris, we always enjoy catching up with you. Thanks a lot for your time. We'll talk soon.
I appreciate it, Charles, and thanks for plugging the site.
You bet.